This is Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International, a non-denominational end times ministry dedicated to fulfilling a divine commission to trumpet forth warnings from God concerning the imminent second coming of Christ and the impending judgment of God upon the ungodly. God has sent Dr. Hansen to many nations of the world with a solemn warning to the political and religious leaders and citizenry to repent of their sinfulness and wickedness or face the catastrophic judgments that will soon be unleashed upon the unbelieving world. Listen now to the warnings of our compassionate and merciful Creator conveyed through His faithful prophetic spokesman, the host of Warning Radio, Dr. Jonathan Hansen.
This is Dr. Jonathan Hansen. I'm the president of World Ministries International, an Eagle Saving Nations. Please go to my website, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. And check them both out. We have to have another great awakening. They're trying to topple the Republic. I hope you understand how serious it's in America today. Check out my website, worldministries.org. Special guest, Dr. E.J. Buckhart. And Dr. Buckhart, welcome to the program Warning.
Thank you.
You've been on the program many times. You've worked with me since 1998, 25 years. And I want you to tell them today a little bit about yourself. Tell them your biography.
Okay. The reason I mentioned that to you, too, and you asked me for it, is because I believe that as I look back, I'm 82 years old, and I can look back at my life, and I kind of think in the scriptures where God says to the Israelites, remember. So I'm going to go through some of my bio, and I look back. Some of them were good things that I did, and others were the Lord corrected me and saw me through those.
Okay.
And I sort of want to challenge people to take a look at your life and to review it and just see how God was faithful to you, especially those who claim to be Christians. And so I'll start out. I was born and raised on a dairy farm, farming ethics, and I still have those ethics to my knowledge. And my parents were Christians, and I'm going to make a little comment here. I've told you this before, but I was actually born as a Lutheran in the Lutheran Church, and I would have been a Catholic.
Okay.
But my grandfather was a German and a little bit stubborn. There was two churches in town. One was a Catholic and one was a Lutheran. He was a Catholic. And he wanted to name his son, youngest son, Henry John. And the priest says, no, you can't do that. You have to put the Christian name first. And Grandpa John says, well, then I'll just go across the street to church. And I became a Lutheran. Now, I know people change religions for different things, different denominations, but that was it. And so I was born and raised a Lutheran. I was at a Lutheran Bible camp. Luther League Camp, as we called them, and I dedicated my life to the Lord when I was about 16. We got not talking about the Holy Spirit, we're just talking about dedicating your life to the Lord. And about that time, I became very active in Luther League and went to two different conferences and conventions. And then, of course, I decided to go to the seminary or go to Luther College, the Lutheran Church's college. So I went to Luther College and graduated there with a Bachelor's of Arts studying in Latin, Greek, and Hebrew. And so, because I was going to go to the seminary. By the way, I was the first person in that church in 125 years to go into ministry.
Wow.
Just an interesting comment on the side. So I went to Luther College. At Luther College, I graduated there and then went to Luther Theological Seminary in St. Paul, Minnesota. I spent the first 2 years there, and the third year I went out as a student pastor in San Diego, California. While I was in when I was still in high school, I forgot that, I was a basketball player. Matter of fact, my school record held for 30 years as top scorer until my cousin beat me out.
Wow.
My dad told me about that. I wasn't aware of it. But I had a heart. I was on the basketball court in my junior year in high school, and I collapsed two times. And so the coach said, you got to go see a doctor. I went there and he found out I had what's called a PSVT, heart condition. And so that was basically it. It wasn't something that would take my life. It was just something I had to deal with. My heart would start rapidly beating. So when I was in San Diego, California, a student pastor, I had some very pains in my chest. And when you have pains in your chest, you think your heart, especially if you've got a heart condition. And the doctor says, there's nothing wrong with your heart. You've got walking pneumonia. Believe it or not, that next day I walked out, took my first airplane training flight, and within 4 weeks, I completed my private license.
Wow.
Now I had to go back to the seminary and finish my seminary degree because I really wanted to be a missionary pilot at that point in time. So I went back to Minnesota, and I went to seminary in the morning. I flew the airplanes in the afternoon of my training flight and worked as a janitor in a Augsburg publishing house that night. Then, of course, I graduated from seminary, but while I was doing my exam, my three professors, they asked me, because they knew I was thinking about flying and not going into the ministry at that point in time. And so he said, do you remember when you took the Minnesota multiphasic test? I says, yeah. You ever seen results? I says, no. He says, well, first of all, either you should be a farmer or you should be a pilot. That was an interesting comment. And he says, the last thing you should have been is in social ministry. I was failed that relationship with the people. So I'm not aware of, I'm saying where this is leading, but the Lord is leading and guiding me. So then, while I was in San Diego that particular year, I also worked at San Diego University, and David Korberg was the chaplain at that university. And his best friend was Norm Mittoon, who was a senior captain at Northwest Airlines, an instructor. And I told him what I was thinking about doing is going into flying instead of the ministry. And he says, get a hold of Norm and talk to Norm. So when I got back to Minneapolis, I went and talked to Norm. We had a long talk together. He says, you know what? He says, I would like to become a pastor when I retire, and you want to become a pilot now. He says, why don't you give it a whirl? So I applied for Northwest Airlines. I did not get hired. My best friend got hired at the same time. Then, so I had the godparents of my two children at that time bought me an airplane to start my own flying business.
Wow.
And I went down to Control Data, and I was going to sign a contract with them, flying through three cities in Minneapolis, and delivering parts and people. And I had a beautiful airplane. I got my 135 license to do this charter work. And on the way back, it was raining that day, I stopped at Northwest on the way back. And as I walked into the office, I bypassed the personnel office, which he did not like, but I did. And I went right to the chief. And chief pilot looked at, hey, friend of the Dutchman, you still want to fly? If you had your medical. I says, no. He says, can you do it tomorrow? I says, yeah, what's up? He says, well, if you pass the physical, you go to class on Tuesday morning. Wow. And this is so now, here's where that. So I did pass the physical with the heart condition. They knew all about it. I spent 32 years with airlines with never a problem. And there's going to be another miracle coming in. I hope we have time to talk to. But anyway, during this whole time, I watched how the Lord kind of moved me in the different areas. I didn't see it there. But I know that after working with you in ministry for 25 years, I realize maybe God says, I don't want you to be in that Lutheran church. I want you to get out. I've got a better things for you down the future. I really believe that is true.
Well, I believe it too.
And
because if you were a Lutheran minister, I don't know if you would have gone along with these sins of abomination they're engaged with today, ordaining homosexuals, drag queens, all of the other nonsense. But I'd have never met you. I met you because you were an airline pilot.
Yeah, and at the church. I'll get into that when we met you there, too. But see, where was I going to go with this? Anyway, so therefore, I was saying in the Lutheran church, I went back to my pastor that I had in San Diego, California, that I trained under. And I went back to the 1980s and to visit him. And he has fallen into the prey of homosexuality and accept abortion. They've done all that. I went back to the seminary, and they're doing the same thing. They're accepting it. And so I probably would have still been there in the Lutheran church, and I probably would have fallen prey to it, not knowing unless the Holy Spirit got a hold of me, hit me over the head with a 2x4. But other than that, I probably would have been that. So this is why I'm saying God is leading sometimes. You got to look back and see, why did I do this or why did I do that? And sometimes it wasn't because of you. I think it was the leading of the Holy Spirit and led me back into that.
I believe that too. I believe many times God protects us and we don't even realize it. And he saved us from bad, sometimes, decisions we would make in life.
Well, you know, you've interviewed my son, Steve. And he went in the, there's a times he mentioned that he says he was living not a life of a Christian, born and raised in the church, but he wasn't living a life of a Christian. But he says, the Lord protect him. Many times he said, I got saved. I mean, I got saved from death. I can go back and say three times I should have been dead on the farm. I fell out of a haymow, which is about 12 feet high, and I just missed a big iron grinder, which would have torn me apart. I had a whole bale. I was on the hay rack, if people know what a hay rack is back in those days, and I was the bales were going up the hay, and it tripped automatically before it got to the top, and it came down. I saw it coming down. I jumped off the rack, flipped over the back. It broke the rack. My dad was in the barn. Are you okay out there? I says, yeah, but your hair rack is broken. And so I've seen many times how the Lord is protecting my Lord protected my son. And then all of a sudden, I remember my son called me up and says, did you shake when you gave your life to the Lord? And I'm shocked. I says, you know, you gave your life to the Lord? He said, well, no, I'm not talking about that. I mean, it's about shaking. And anyway, you know my son, Steve. But so the Lord does protect us, even though we may be living in sin or living a life that's not lined up with the Lord. Well, then, of course, then to get back to where I met you. I went to Our Savior's Lutheran Church. No, that was up in California. We went to a church here, Assembly of God Church. And at the Assembly of God Church, we were members. We attended there. And you came back from Africa with your family. Well, my wife and I always tried to be good hosts to people. And we saw you, and we decided to invite you over for dinner. Well, when I met you, I realized you're a different person than what I've ever met as a pastor. There was something about you that was different, and your family. And we could go into beautiful things that took place at my home because of that. And so now I've been with you for 25 years. I realize the Lord brought me into here. I ended up getting my doctor's degree through our ministry here. And so now I am a pastor. And I have no complaints about that, but my past experience has really led me to the point right now where I'm looking at the power of the Holy Spirit. Because, folks, you know, if you don't have the Holy Spirit living within you, you cannot accomplish what God wants you to accomplish. You just can't do it. I says, you've always been totally filled with the Holy Spirit. I've seen you. You're not the normal pastor out there. You know, you're not looking for glory. You're not looking for finances. You're not looking for any of that. You just want people to get to know the truth. But also, you want to warn people about the second coming of Jesus Christ, because then it's all over with. We have to give our lives to the Lord now. Matter of fact, I know a young lady that one of her old boyfriends just got killed in a motorcycle accident. It was really tough on her because we just looked at her and says, hey, you never know when you walk out that door if you're going to be alive the next day. I remember many years ago, I had a friend who came here to minister with us, driving down the road, and a lady and pulled in front of me in my car and just slowed me down. I, even though I was born again at the time, I had a little temper. Well, if that hadn't happened, I would not be alive today, because a car came flying up over the intersection, upside down, and landed right in front of us. God protects us, but we got to look back and see that. That's remember, right. Remember what God does for you, and then allow your life just to be filled with the Holy Spirit.
EJ, you said if you had time, you have another story, and we've got plenty of time. We've got another 10 minutes to go.
Okay. Well, let me get back to the ministry when I was a student pastor in San Diego, California. I remember the first sermon I had. You know, I don't know if you remember your first sermon in the church. And I was a student pastor, not a senior pastor. I wasn't even ordained yet. And I gave a message.
I don't remember exactly the message, but I do know the results. And not everyone was happy with me.
The message was, my message was, could you have loved as much? And I'm going to challenge you people on this, because when I prayed this message, I thought I was saying everything that everybody would love. But I was in San Diego, California. It's a home where a lot of Navy pilots were there. Navy pilots were overseas. This is back in the late 60s when this took place. And I told the story of a soldier who went overseas, got a divorce from a wife, married one of the Japanese girls, had two children, and now he had cancer. He called back his ex-wife and he says, can you take these two children because they won't have no life over here? And she said, what about their mother? He said, well, that would be nice too. So she decided that she loved her husband, she would take over her children, their children, and bring her to America. They come to New York City. Here is the mother, two children, in a country, cannot speak the language, know nothing. And she's there to meet them. And she looked at, she says, what am I doing? And then the thought comes, if you can love your husband, you need to love what he loved. Now, this is the message I gave. These two young girls were symphony orchestra violinists, fabulous. But then what happened was, is two elderly ladies called up the senior pastor, Mr. Severson, and said, what in the world do you allow that guy to speak like that? We live in a care where these wives have their husbands over there. And he's basically saying, go over there and get a divorce, marry the kids, and everything's going to be fine. I'm hurting. He comes, EJ, you spoke the message. You take care of it. Well, the next morning, I was getting ready to call these two ladies, and three women called me, wives of soldiers. He said, EJ, I want to thank you for that message. I've always feared this, but now I don't have the fear. I can love him no matter what. How does God look at us? I can love you no matter what. Could you love as much as God loves you? And I talked to them, and then I did talk to the other ladies, and we got it all resolved. But that message, my first one I ever got, I think had a message I love today. Can you love as much as God loves?
What was the point where you decided to work with Mia, with World Ministries International?
Well, we invited you over to dinner, and I get a lot of people. I says, you know, he's kind of a rebel, a little bit like me. The Lord basically spoke to my wife and myself and says, I want you to serve him. I want you to work with him. We didn't know what we were going to get into, but he says, Lord, I just want you to go. So I says, okay. And my wife agreed to it. We had a beautiful place, and we ended up moving up here to where you bought a piece of property, two old houses, and we remodeled them and gave up that beautiful home we had. And now we got a beautiful place here, too. And we're still doing you now, still working with you. And, you know, it's been a pleasure because I've learned to know what the Holy Spirit's all about. Because other than that, in the Lutheran Church, we'd never known anything about the Holy Spirit. I mean, even my father was born and raised as a Lutheran. But one day, he was with horse and buggies, and he was out plowing with the horses, and he gave his life. He got off the plane and says, Lord, whatever you want me to do, I'll do. I'm giving my life over to you. Now, that, to me, is a born-again experience. But he knew nothing about the Holy Spirit because it wasn't the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It wasn't taught in the Lutheran Church. And I wouldn't have been in that unless I'd been in Cedar Park Assembly, where there's when I got filled with the Holy Spirit. But even then, I had to, you know, could talk in tongues. But it wasn't until I met you and saw how you worked and things that you would do, your fasting, and to go into a country that's genocide and go in there knowing that you may not come out alive, but the Lord said go, and you always said the Lord will protect you. And it struck me. And I hope I can have that type of a spirit that you have. So anybody that's listening to this, to the program, warning at World Ministries, but Eagle Saving Nations, right now this country is a very, very serious time. And boy, I listened to a radio program this morning, was downtown, and I tell you what, even some of these non-Christian people out there are saying, hey, the church has got to wake up, because only salvation is if the church arises. It's amazing that we're seeing something happen. But do we have to wait for the millions of people to die? As you, if you look on his website, you'll see what he's talking about.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, The Science of Judgment. I wrote a book. You could order it, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. You could telephone 360-629-5248, 360-629-5248. And it would explain the rise and fall of nations as well as individuals. What is the cup of iniquity? How does judgment come upon a nation or a person? Again, order my book, The Science of Judgment. Now, EJ, I know the first time you invited me, it was Thanksgiving, and you had an ulterior motive, not just to get to know me.
Okay, now I remember what you're going to go. Yeah.
So why don't you explain that?
I think you're talking about Bob Peterson. Okay, matter of fact, I'm looking at Bob's picture in here right now. Bob Peterson was a friend of mine. I did not know it when I first met him, but he was a cross-dresser. I did not know him. If you ever see a picture of him dressed up like a little cowgirl, you would never know it's a boy, but it was a girl. And we invited Bob over for dinner, and we invited you over for dinner. Well, then Bob turned me down, and then you turned me down. Well, then you both turned around, called up, and said, oh, I can make it. Once again, this is God orchestrating it. Both of you said no, but they turned around and both said yes. Bob gave his life. You came in, and he took his earrings out of his ear, and he gave his life to the Lord, and he worked here in this radio studio for many, many years. And that was the beginning of it.
Well, I'll tell you what. I did some unorthodox things. You had me open the Thanksgiving dinner prayer. And you had family and friends, and right there, I started praying prophetically and right at him, told him to go to the living room, led him to the Lord, took the earrings out of his ears, told him in 2 weeks, you'll never take another drink in your life or smoke. And he used to be a heavy drinker and smoker. 2 weeks later, he tried it, got deathly sick, never touched a drop since. He was a heavy drinker and smoker for 30 years, EJ.
And he had hearing aids, and he was your sound man.
God can use anybody. God can use you.
Amen.
In fact, all through the Bible, God uses ordinary people. People that we would call losers, but he used them, whether they were harlots or womanizers, liars, he used them.
Amen.
And some of them became the greatest men and women the Bible records, the heroes of the Bible. So don't lose heart. I know I just came back from Bogota, Colombia, South America. I was there 5 years ago. I prophesied if the church doesn't wake up, they'll have a communist government. They'll have economic crash. They'll have crime out of control, and their freedoms would be eroded away from them. I flew back again, as you know, 5 years later, and they met me at the airport and said, everything you said has come to pass. We have a communist government. We've lost losing our freedoms. The economy has crashed, and crime is out of control. And one of the drivers that picked me up was just mugged 20 days earlier in the car.
Correct.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, now we had tremendous meetings, but they are in an area of desperation. And I've been saying, do we need to get desperate in America? Do we have to wait till millions die? Do we have to do that? Because it's coming.
Amen.
It's coming. I had 25 prophetic dreams April 20th, and I should say April 2020, civil unrest, civil war, and invasion. Civil unrest, it's here.
Amen.
Hamas protest. Hamas is totally dedicated to wipe out every Jew and then Christian. It's right in their charter. They don't want a two-state solution. They've turned it down 5 times.
Amen.
Antifa, nothing but revolutionary, communist, etc., and BLM, a Marxist covering. They have burnt down buildings, attacked people constantly, and what do we have? Nothing. The liberal left calls it peaceful protest. How can it be peaceful when people are dying, businesses are being burned down and looted? Civil war. We're on the verge of it. Everyone says it. Everyone in the know. And an invasion. 10 to 15 million people walking in. Cartels, terrorists, et cetera, et cetera. Ladies and gentlemen, if the church doesn't have another great awakening, We are falling. The Republic is falling. And if you're a born-again person, let me tell you, incarceration camps are being set up already. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we have to have another great awakening. My website, worldministries.org, worldministries.org, worldministries.org. Please join Eagle Saving Nations now. We've got to have another great awakening. Worldministries.org. Do what you can to help us. Stay on your local television and radio station. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen, founder and president of World Ministries International. Warning Radio is a listener-supported program. We need your donations in order to continue airing these Christ-centered prophetic programs. Send your checks or money orders to World Ministries International, Post Office Box 277, Stanwood, Washington, 98292. To donate securely by phone, call 360-629-5248. Visit our website to find other ways of giving and a wealth of information about World Ministries International and host Dr. Jonathan Hansen. The website is worldministries.org. There, you'll also have access to hundreds of previously aired radio programs, made-for-television videos, thousands of articles, Dr. Hansen's books, and travel itinerary. Again, the website is worldministries.org. The phone number is 360-629-5248. Tune in at this same time, Monday through Friday, on this radio station for the next exciting edition of Warning Radio with Dr. Jonathan Hansen. Remember, the Lord is not slow about the promise of His return, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing for any to perish, but for everyone to come to the repentance that leads to eternal life.